Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I see the registration pads have been passed out. Please be sure and register your name and other things if need be. Do we have any visitors here with us this morning? Yes.
Roy and Tina, right here. Roy's been here before a long time ago, and he's been here recently on Wednesday night. So we welcome Roy and Tina this morning.
Welcome.
And for first-timers, I believe that's probably all the first-timers. Some return to you, and we're always glad to see them, as well as regular people.
I'd like to remind everybody, I don't think I read this in the bulletin. Maybe I overlooked it. Next Sunday, we spring forward.
We meant to get that in right.
Come
an hour early.
Daylight, set your clocks early next Saturday night. Coming 2 weeks early this year. So remember that. At this time, we'll go to prayer and praise requests. Do we have any prayer requests or praise requests from the congregation? Bye.
First of all, here you go, and our delight to ask you to rejoice with us that our aim in here is for blessing us with the grandchild who will arrive.
We're going to have a boo baby. Do we have others? Yes. Do we have anyone else?
Albert.
Oh, yes, Brother Al.
Thank you.
Please write these on the pew cards so that we can get the names correctly and all that. Do we have any others that have anything they need to say? If not, may we pause at this time with silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for worship today. Thank you and amen. Worship, please follow with me from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent with shouts of joy. We will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Let's all stand and sing and make melody with hymn number 9, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him.
Praise him. story together. Lord God, You are the light of our life. You are our salvation, the stronghold. And Lord, we have no need to fear, because You are greater than all that would come against us. Thank You for this time to come together to offer praise to You. Thank You, Lord, that You even want us to. Thank You that You have spoken and Your people have heard. They have gathered in Your name. Lord, help us to be faithful to what You want us to do today, what You want to happen in this setting. Lord, bless our singing, our sharing, our praying, our giving. Bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word, and move us to a response that would bring glory to You and help to Your creation. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for letting us come into Your place, a special place for Your special presence. And thank You in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession today is taken from Psalm 38:18. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Please join me as we pray our prayer of confession. God of mercy, You sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from You and turned aside from Your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are saved, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored Your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sins. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And He gives us the assurance of forgiveness. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's
breath.
Bring your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 457. I will sing of the mercies.
Just in time.
one word. Wow. It's children's time, Miss Andrea. And there is no children's church today, so the children remain in the sanctuary.
Guys, and I want to say thank you to Ms. Mary Jo and Mr. Mike for filling in for me. I really appreciate that. And I have several funny stories to tell you from the last couple of weeks that I haven't been here. Mr. Larry and I went to Real Foot Lake. Has anybody ever been to Real Foot Lake? It was formed by an earthquake. Really interesting. But, of course, you know me and animals. I wanted to go see the eagles because this time of year a lot of eagles are nesting there and beginning to, you know, are getting ready to nest and everything. But, and that's another story. I'm not going to tell you that one today. But I found a great appreciation for another bird that I had always thought was really ugly and really disgusting. We went to a presentation on Saturday evening up there about birds of prey. And the very last bird they brought out all these magnificent birds. You know, one was an eagle that was in captivity because he'd been injured, and owls, and all these things that I've always loved and thought were beautiful. Excuse me, beautiful. And the very last one they brought out was a vulture. Okay? Y'all see them all the time. They clean up dead things off the side of the road, you know. Ugh. But anyway, and they're not particularly pretty birds. In fact, I have a picture of a bunch sitting. This is how you see them most of the time, sitting in a group, you know, sitting up in the trees, waiting for something to die, you know. So, you know, so it's not exactly the most becoming thing in the world, but they are also one of God's creatures, are they not? They are. And let me tell you what I found out about these lovely creatures. They're very smart. In fact, the other birds of prey, the trainers, it took them 2 months to teach them what they wanted to do, how they wanted them to do and come to them and all the kind of things. Guess how long it took Casey? That's what they called the vulture. 1 week. Casey figured out what they wanted and did it perfectly, and she was hilarious. She would follow them all around the auditorium, bouncing along. I mean, they're hilarious looking walking anyway. You know, the head going like this and walking and bouncing. And then she would fly from one trainer to the other, you know, because she's getting a treat when she got there. But there's a funny story about Casey. They found Casey as a baby, or a person did, and brought her to the rehabilitation place because she'd been abandoned as a little bitty baby. And when they find babies like that, they try not to pet them and, you know, get them used to humans, because if they do, they won't go back into the wild where they're supposed to be. Well, they tried to take Casey back 4 times to the wild, but Casey came right back 4 times. And the 4th time they decided, you know what? Casey just figured out this is not a bad gig here, and we might as well incorporate her into the program. So they did. Well, I know that it's hard for you all to believe sometimes where these motivations come for me, but Casey made me think about this. You and I, we know what Jesus did for us on the cross, don't we? He died for each one of us. And he rose again, and we serve a risen Savior. And, you know, we got Easter coming up. And lots of times, we walk away from the life that Jesus wants us to have, which is that there's no better life anywhere, and it takes us a whole lot longer than Casey to come back. Well, I want y'all to think about these lovely creatures when you all start walking away and doing things that you know that Jesus wouldn't have you do, that don't go along with the Christian life, that you wouldn't want mom or dad to know or anybody else to know. You think about this ugly little creature and how smart these ugly little creatures are, okay? And let's come on back to the cross, because that's where we belong, and that's the news we need to share. And I just want to share with you from Psalms 121, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. There isn't any children's church today. Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Our offertory sentence today is, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. I invite the ushers to come forward.
Please be seated. Invite Cherry, David, Jim, Karen, Paul, Pete Franciscan, Diane, Briggs, and Judy Bomar to assist the altar. If you'd like to follow the Bible, page 703, if you're using the Pew Bible, the NIV version of the Pew Bible, beginning with Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and I'll begin with verse 26. Matthew's account of Jesus instituting the supper. While they were eating, this is Jesus and the disciples, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Lord God, we thank you for this bread. We thank you that we have bread each day to sustain our lives. But we thank you that we have the bread of heaven, Jesus. And thank you for sending him, and thank you for him giving this way to remember his sacrifice for us. So as we break this bread and partake of it, we pray that you will nourish us spiritually to our remembrance. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Body of Christ broken for you. The cup, the fruit of the vine, the symbol of the blood of Jesus, shed for us and for many for the remission of sin. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the freshness of the fruit of the vine. And thank you for giving us this remembrance. And Lord, we'd ask you to remind us each time we are refreshed that we can remember your great sacrifice for us. But especially as we come to this table and to this cup, keep us ever mindful of your shed blood for the remission of our sins. Having received, I share with you the blood of Christ shed for the remission of sin. in church. People, just remember how much God loves you as you eat and drink the sacrament. desire to be served.
Our scripture today is taken from Genesis, and as I was reading over this and see the old words, the old names of the Old Testament, reminded me I registered a new student this week at school, and his first name is Japheth. Trivia: who was Japheth in the Bible? Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. 17 and 18. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcass, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. And from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chick under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word of God, or the people of God, thanks be to God. By the way.
You have an outline, a small outline under that scripture there, for your benefit. Also, you have hopefully some notes on the screen. I am still learning, so I beg your patience. And I'm a slow learner, but I finally will learn. I want to suggest that if you're looking for it, you will not find a utopia this side of the pearly gates. There is no utopia in this life. Not for very long, anyway. The scripture you have heard. But before I get into that, I'd like to have a utopian experience in church. All these children in Sunday school, 1 hour early. Well, 1 hour and 15 minutes early. Get them here, well, 9:15, 1 hour early. And they can get most of Sunday school. So get all these children in Sunday school, that would be a utopian experience. Maybe a little hair pulling, a little frustration sometimes, but from the preacher's point of view, when he gets to stand aside and watch, it would be like utopia. So, just encourage that. That's another opportunity or a challenge and a good practice for this Lenten season. I hope through this sermon, this is a sermon I've lived with for a few weeks. Actually, the idea came and then I had to find scripture to go with it. And when this scripture appeared in the lectionary this week, said, that's it. It works. And so about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think the Lord revealed to me, folks, tell the folks, and you need to know, Larry, that you look for smooth sailing in the church or you look for smooth sailing in life, and it's probably going to be short-lived because that's something that's reserved for heaven. I think that Adam messed it up. And you read the 3rd chapter of Genesis, and I think it's about verse 17 or wherever the Lord turns and talks to Adam after he's talked to Satan, after he's talked to Eve. Then he turns to Adam and tells him how it's going to be. And it's not going to be easy in this world, because who messed it up? Satan messed it up. Eve messed it up. Adam jumped right in with them with both feet, didn't he? So life is tough. Now, my wife don't like for me to say this. She's the eternal optimist, and she says that I'm the eternal pessimist. I don't believe it, but I think I'm a realist. But anyhow, we'll discuss that again at home. We won't argue over it here. She respects this pulpit and lets me say it while I'm here. And I'm convinced that what I'm saying here is right on track. But I hope that we will seek God's help in going through difficult times rather than look for a time, at least an extended period of time, of no difficulties in our life. Many people look for that time of peace and tranquility, but it hasn't happened yet that there is peace on this big earth. Nor has it happened that there is goodwill among men. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. It will only happen when we all agree to do God's will. If we would follow God's will, what God wills for His people, we could expect that. But we are a rebellious people, and we say, we know better, God. We're going to do it our way, just like Adam and Eve did it back in their day. So, in this world, you may keep on looking for a time of peace and tranquility, but you're probably not going to see it for a long period of time. Because when the problem gets over in Iraq, we'll be back in Afghanistan. If we don't watch, we'll be at war in Somalia again, or in Sudan, or, you know, maybe on our own border. So there are trouble spots all over the world. And it is not men and women, people interacting in an unholy way. The weather will mess up. That tsunami, I even heard it mentioned. I think it was this morning they were talking about, maybe last night, this beautiful flow of lava on some little island flowing down into the ocean. And there was an amazement that it didn't cause the tsunami as it had, a similar experience had caused, or they thought it had caused it a few years ago. You know, we're not even going to have peace and tranquility in these United States. Those 3 little islands down under Texas, you know, they're supposed to be way over here somewhere. 5 little islands, 5 of them, I guess. Everybody wants to go to Hawaii. That's all I'm thinking. I haven't yet, but, you know, there's trouble spots there. They had the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So it's not always even peaceful there. 1928. How many of you are old enough to remember 1928? That means you're about 72 plus 7, 79 years old if you remember 1928, right? Do we have anybody here that old? One? Maybe just one? Two? Three? Oh, you was born? I thought that you did. I think two or three of us, one in the middle section, two over here, and one that was born over here in that year. 1928. Oh, Herbert Hoover promised prosperity. A number of cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot. Was it one car or three cars? I think it's one car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. By 1932, people didn't even have a pot. Right? Boy, was he wrong. It just didn't happen like he promised. 34 years later, Lyndon Baines Johnson. So I've covered Republicans and Democrats too, right? Trying to be fair here. Lyndon Baines Johnson brought in the Great Society. Going to wipe out poverty. Does anybody remember 1964 and all the promises made in 1964? Okay, some of us remember that. Well, it didn't help. We still have poverty. We still have frustrations. So, if you're expecting no poverty, you're dreaming. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, not that he wanted it to happen, but people are just going to act that way. Because we won't follow his teachings. Let's go down to Tennessee. How many scoundrels? Back up a little bit. How many scandalous situations do you remember in state government, in this state of Tennessee? They're sending senators and representatives to prison on a regular basis. Maybe it was a Freudian slip or something. I said scandals, and maybe they're scandals that causes a scandal. I didn't mean to say scandals, but anyhow. So, maybe there'll be a time that we won't have any more and we'll pass some more laws and to fix it all. It's probably not going to happen because some people will find a way around that. In the city of Nolensville, we look for a time of peace and tranquility and everybody getting along and going to city council meetings or planning meetings. And all like that, we think, man, look for that time. Hey, there's going to be a thorn in the flesh. Every year, you can just believe on it. Church. We look for a church. This is where I live in. I said, when the church will finally run smooth. 40 years of trying to preach in a church, years before that, never have known. Be a long term of no problems in the church. Have you ever been in a church where there were no problems? God hasn't promised no problems. He's promised to get us through every one of them if we'll let Him. If it's Jenkins Church or Nolan's the First United Methodist or Nolan's the First Baptist, and I can sit here and think, I've been observing these churches for 19 plus years, and every one of them's gone through a rough spot. Stonebrook. They were going so great guns. In one, 2 or 3 month period, four of the leaders of the church moved. You take four leaders out of a 50-member congregation, let them move to other parts. That's a rough spot in the church, I tell you. Christ family, it's going to happen. That's just some around here, etc., those others. Even in our homes, even with our families, there are uprisings. Kids rise up or a spouse rises up and there are disagreements, there are some problems. You can get through them if you're looking for the right place, but Carol always likes, tell on her, she wants it to go smooth, she won't argue much. She tells me every once in a while, but if I argue back, that ends the conversation. She is the eternal hopeful that it'll be peace and tranquility. And I guess I give in to the idea that it won't be and go ahead and make sure that it's not. I can say that part too. But in the house, even the hot water tank will break, right? Who's had a water tank to break in the last month? Some of them surely we've had. Nobody has that? Did your TV blow up? Did your microwave go bad? It will in a throwing it back over here. Something's going to happen in the house. The car will break. The brakes will mess up. Okay. Also in life, if that man keeps running like that, he's going to hang his toe or he's going to have a heart attack or something. Remember, I thought I was healthy as I could be, but
Mr. Sharp and I were pulling some brush that the storm had blown off once, and I got a little burning in this here, and then one morning I got up and drove to the church and got here, and I could think, but I couldn't say what I was thinking. They got me to the hospital, and they said, "You got some problems, boy," and I didn't know that. I thought I was healthy. So you may be healthy for a long time, but you need to watch. I can think of Sam had a coronary, now what did you have? A deep vein thrombosis, DVT. That's what it is. Deep vein thrombosis. He still has to put that leg up sometime, right? So the old body, there will be some problems if we live long enough. Who's not had a health problem? Either a sore throat, everybody's had a sore throat, or a headache or something. Anybody not had? Maybe we have had, okay? Some, okay. But home and family and person. Now, one thing that we can rest assured in, the peace and tranquility that we might hope for probably will not happen for any extended period of time in this life. And I can go to Genesis 3 and probably see the ultimate reason or where it all started. When God spoke to Adam and said, "It's going to be tough out in the world. You've messed up. It was beautiful for you, but you're going to have to earn your living by the sweat of your brow." Jesus himself went through many trying times in his walk on earth. Not only Jesus, though. He wasn't the only one who went through a tough time or tough times. Other people we meet in the pages of the Bible. Other Bible characters. I wrote down a few. Moses. Moses, we talked a couple of weeks ago about him coming down from the mountain and found the people that he had left. He went up to talk to God and left the people. He's going to come back and tell them what God told him. And he came down. They had built a golden calf out of their jewelry and were worshiping it. Exodus 32. Elijah, the representative of the prophets that we saw back on Transfiguration Day. Moses represented the law, but Elijah represented the prophet. He had a tough time. Jezebel was after him. He was prophesying, and he was outdoing the Baal prophets, and he killed about 50 of them, and they got killed in the contest that they had. And Jezebel said, "I'll get that Elijah, and I'm going to take his life if it kills me," basically said. She made some big threats, and she says, "I'm going to get him." And he started running because she had the resources to get him, except he had God on his side. And he sat down and cried and wanted to die. Jeremiah, a prophet, we talked about a few weeks ago that God called him even before he was conceived. Even before he was conceived, God called him to be a prophet. But Jeremiah had tough day after tough day after tough day. He became known as the weeping prophet. We have a book named after his cryings, or expressing. It's the cryings, the book of Lamentations. He lamented and even wrote about it. Abraham, in Genesis 15, Abraham began to say, "I don't think God's going to give me a family. I don't think God's going to give me this land." And he was going through a tough time because he was impatient and didn't want to wait. Took things in his own hands a time or two. Just a few examples. But Jesus, numerous times Jesus went through a bad experience in his life. And one was in John chapter 11, where his friend died. His friend was named Lazarus. Friend died. And it hurt Jesus, and that's the place we know of him weeping. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Quoting Bible verses, can't think of one, just say, "Jesus wept." Where is it from? John 11. What's his spiritual reality? What did he weep over? His friend dying. Okay. Gave you some ammunition when you're sharing Bible verses the next time, right? Somebody else may beat you to it, though. Even at his birth, there was a tough time. Herod, another Herod. Herod wanted to kill Jesus, get him out of the way. He was threatened by him. So
so he killed all the other babies, and Jesus and his parents escaped to Egypt. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, he was in prison for challenging the Herod and Herodias, and he was in prison. And John the Baptist had known Jesus to be the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the earth. But when John the Baptist was going through his tough experience being in jail, later was beheaded, that was really tough, wasn't it? He sent word to Jesus by his disciples, go ask Jesus if he is really the one, or shall we look for another? And in Jesus' heart, what do you think that did? Even John is doubting me. Even John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, the one that had baptized me, now he is wondering if I'm really the one. Even after he heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus went home to his hometown. Went home to his hometown of Nazareth where he lived, where he grew up, and was rejected. They would not listen to him. They said, who is this? Another one of us. What does he mean trying to tell us how to live? They rejected him. A tough time in his life. When Jesus sent out the disciples, in one place is in Matthew 10, he sends out the 12, and he said to them, I'm sending you out, and it's going to be like sending sheep out before wolves, and wolves eat sheep. Kill them. Destroy them. And he says, it'll be a dangerous situation that you're going to, even when you go out in my name. You have all kind of power, and they came back reporting great miracles, but when you go out, while you're out there, it's a dangerous situation. So Jesus has warned us, his disciples, that it is tough. Talked about being brought to trial for what they said and told them how to deal with that. Arrows being shot at them, or maybe word arrows being shot at them. Now, how does Jesus deal with the threat of Herod? That was our passage. Somebody come to Jesus, some of the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees came to Jesus. All Pharisees were not bad. Some of them tried to get Jesus to get out of town so his life would not be taken by Herod. They came to him and they said to him that Herod is going to kill you. He is after you. He's threatened by you. And Jesus, what did he do? How did he react in face of danger? Did he fold up his tent and go home? No, he didn't. Did he quit his work? No, he didn't. Number one, he said, tell that fox. And when he referred to him as a fox, in the Bible, I am told, foxes were... when you call somebody a fox, that wasn't a very nice name. That's kind of like calling them a polecat, I guess, now. We kind of like foxes because we don't get real close to them. We don't like polecats because we can smell them whether we're close to them or not, right? But tell that fox. That here I am. Tell him where I am. Send him on. So Jesus did not run from a difficult time. He kept at his work. The work that God had sent him to do. He kept on preaching and teaching, and you can find all of this right in the Word here. It says, go tell that fox. That was defying the fox. And then he said what to tell it. That he will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. Jesus said, tell that fox that I'm going to keep at my work. I'm going to keep on freeing people of demons. I'm going to keep on healing people who are sick. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Just tell him to come on. I'm not threatened by him. A little arrogant, we might say. No. He's just showing us by his example that we don't need to run every time we're threatened. And we don't need to fold up our tent and go home every time the going gets tough. He said, I've got work to do, and I'm going to do it.
Jesus knew that he had work to do. And actually, he knew that he was going to the cross in Jerusalem. He says in verse 33, "In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. I know I might be killed." Read it there. "But a prophet will die in Jerusalem. Cannot die outside Jerusalem. I'm here for it." So, he declared his intention. He didn't hide what he was doing. He said, "I want to keep on. I've got a work to do. God the Father has sent me to do this work. He sent me to teach and to preach and to heal and to drive out demons, to free people from the bondage of Satan." And I'm going to, he was ultimately going to the cross that could happen to all mankind in all generations. The other good thing about this is Jesus will see us through. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. That's Christ. He looks out over Jerusalem and I can see him, imagine him just shaking his head. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to help you, but you would not have it. I came to help you, but you would not have it. But if you would have listened, I would have taken you under my wings and protected you and blessed you and cared for you." Jesus will see us through the tough times of life. We may end up in heaven, but wouldn't that be a good place to be if we end up in heaven? I'm riding to Mississippi and back the other day. I heard two songs, and "When others say you can't, let me tell you, God can." That was kind of a gospel song. And then a country song. But it had, I thought, a good message for this one. "And where I got torment, there's a four-letter word that wasn't there, and I didn't want to put it on the screen for you, okay?"